Item three, COVID-19 emergency proclamation, district response.
Okay, well, I appreciate everybody being able to pull together for this meeting today. I think I summarized a lot of this last week when I kind of said there was going to be a need for additional meeting this week, and it's very timely. The county is requesting any, you know, initial damage assessments or any additional potential damages that the district may expect to see, whether it's lost revenue, people not paying bills, any supplies that we've been purchasing, et cetera. They want that later today, so I'm actually going to be working on it more a little bit after this phone call to be able to get those numbers in. And just a real quick overview of how the FEMA process works for those that haven't gone through it is, you know, when there's an emergency declaration, it can either be at the state or at the federal level, and then local cities can declare if it's a, you know, a regional issue, but something that we're dealing with right now being national, you know, once the state requests that the president does a disaster declaration, that's all that we need as a local agency. So it's our job just to track all the costs that we can, think of any costs, think of any damages that we might experience, not just now, but, you know, in the future during the duration of what is considered the emergency time period. And, you know, all these backup documents and policies are the backbone for what's going to provide justification when we put in our cost request. And so our first step is we do what they call the initial damage assessment. We get that number into the county. The county rolls that up to the state. State rolls that up to the federal level. And at that point, they kind of get an idea of what they're dealing with. And, you know, it might make that $2 trillion stimulus package look pretty small. So we don't have any idea at this point, but this is a separate budgetary process that the federal government has and how they allocate money through FEMA. So just because the stimulus money is coming out, that's a separate path altogether. Once they get all their initial damage assessments, then it becomes a negotiation in between the states and the federal government with how much money is going to be allocated to each state. And the state goes back to the county and says, okay, this is how much money we're able to negotiate. And then we work directly with the state at that point. So California Office of Emergency Services. I've gone through that process twice, once from floods and once from fires, and now from pandemics. So we know the process, been in contact with all of them. They're, you know, at the end of this, there may be $0 that end up allocated, but the best case is just to track and get everything in place. So if we are eligible, it's pretty much just handing them over an account number that shows all the costs that we've tracked to date related to it. When it comes to anything regarding an initial damage estimate, what we're looking at is estimating based off of, you know, potential for customers to actually not be able to pay their bills. There's a lot of industry articles out there right now that are, you know, circulating what other agencies are doing. And we kind of went with the model that, you know, we're going to assume that 20% of our customers cannot pay their bill in the period that's covered by this emergency. We're not, you know, as a district right now, we're not waiving any bills. We're not writing them off. This is all about preparing that if money is available, that we could possibly help our customers with bill relief should that be something that the board was to decide to move forward with. So right now it's a planning exercise. This doesn't impact any future policy or how we waive bills. Right now we're still working with our customers, encouraging them to pay what they can at a minimum. We've definitely are not doing disconnects and we're not charging the late fees. And to date, we've had about, it's under 10 customers have called that have just been asking the questions of, you know, do you have payment plans? When am I going to be turned off? When are these activities happening? And so we've just advised them that there's no late fees and we're not doing turnoffs during this time period, but we're still encouraging them to try to make any minimum payments they can to help that balance stay reasonable, because at this point we don't, you know, foresee any ability to totally write off bills unless we get some outside funding source. So that's kind of where we're at now. We'll have, you know, hopefully a lot more information in about, oh, you know, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks at our regular meeting to be able to tell you how many customers are requesting it, really how serious the problem is, and if we need to, we'll call a special meeting in between. But I think, you know, waiting some more time to get more data will be much more beneficial to see where we're at. So specific to this item, there's the emergency proclamation, which, you know, when we talk to Cal OES and FEMA and others, they say it's not necessary that the local agency adopt it because you're under, you know, state and federal and local orders. But they said, you know, you should acknowledge it so that when we're submitting our funding request from Cal OES and FEMA, that it shows that the board and the district is dedicated to, you know, recognizing the seriousness of the situation and also kind of stating a few things that we're doing to help mitigate that. So that'd be the first part of the proclamation. The second part is how we've been operating our READY. It was just to formalize, you know, our continuity of operation plan. And so you can, you know, everybody can see the different stages that were in there, different actions, and that's pretty much how we've been operating throughout this process. And I also, you know, just read in locations that we're having, you know, full treatment plans, and it might be something that Contra Costa Water District, which I'm going to check in with, might be interested in doing, is some of the shelter in place, you know, where they're bringing their critical staff in place, bringing in trailers, and so their staff is isolated from the outside, so there's no risk of any of the real critical employees getting sick that way. I know right now they've doing a lot of the same stuff we're doing, you know, on the cleaning and disinfecting and also on the reducing the staff density and everything else, but I'd be curious, and I will do that, you know, later today to see if they have a backup plan should it get worse in Contra Costa. You know, if it was to turn into a New York scenario, I think it'd be very prudent to be bringing critical employees in and sheltering them that way. But at this point, we're not at that severity locally. And then the last part is just establishing the policy that formalizes our current practices for how we, you know, work remotely or work from home occasionally. And also the key in there is about one sentence that expands it towards during times of emergency, you know, we might have additional employees that aren't normally on a work remote schedule doing something like that to keep our staff density reduced at the office and also in the field. So those three items kind of make up the backbone to our request. Within also the emergency proclamation, you'll see that it's kind of a request, a bigger request that Chief Erickson had put in last week was assigning somebody to the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center. You know, this one, I've been the liaison and the contact, and I think we'd use this as a model moving forward should it be an earthquake or a fire where we have a much more local imminent need as well. You know, that I would serve as the liaison, and then the alternates would be the water operations manager or the construction maintenance manager. So that would be Wayne and Nacho, for those of you familiar with the staff that are in those positions. So I think with that, that's all that I really have to say on the items. This, again, is our backbone for the paperwork, for our initial damage assessments. And then either at our April or May meeting, there'll be additional FEMA forms that just authorize me to actually apply for the FEMA funding. But, you know, hopefully by then, in that time period, we'll know that the state and feds are opening up what categories, because they have categories A through F of eligible expenses. And, you know, we're category B, which is usually a fairly high priority when it comes to reimbursements. But this is something that's never been seen on a national scale like this, as far as funding from FEMA. So we just need to have our ducks in a row and be ready should we be eligible. And that's all that I need to say about it, unless there's any questions.
Question, Dan. This is Jack. On regulation number 130, under section 2, eligibility number E on the bottom of the second page, the district is not responsible for damage to an employee's personal equipment or property while the employee is telecommuting. Isn't this redundant?
Yes.
Because F says employees are prohibited from using personal electronic equipment. So if they're prohibited from using it, why are we even saying that we're not responsible for their personal equipment?
Okay. Yeah, I can certainly see they're saying the same thing. I don't know, Jeff, I know that I worked through our HR council at looking at this one. Do you see any issue on face value with removing E if we are indeed having F in there that prohibits the use of personal devices?
No, it's a good idea.
So remove E. Okay, so we'll strike E.
Okay. Is the chair ready for a motion?
Chair's ready. Is everybody else, nobody else has any other further questions?
It looks good to me, Dan.
Good.
Hearing no questions, we're ready for a motion.
I'll move that we issue the emergency proclamation, that we adopt the continuity of operations plan, and that we adopt resolution number 2020-09 establishing regulation 130 with the one amendment of striking E. I'll so move.
I need a second, gentlemen.
I'll second.
We have a motion second. Each person signify by saying aye.
I will. We'll aye. Have to do a roll call on that. So, yeah. Director Pastor.
Aye.
Director Seeger.
Aye.
Director Crockett.
Aye.
Vice President DeFemery.
Aye.
President Hobbs.
Aye.
Passes 5-0.
Yes, sir. No. Any other comments, please?
I have nothing.
Okay. I'll apologize to the board for making you wait that 15.